our share in the priesthood of Christ. He's already told us now we're all going to be made perfect if we obey the Holy Spirit. That means brought to a great moral excellence and being rendered apt for eternal life, body and soul, and being able to join Jesus in giving our whole life to God the Father for the salvation of the world. And so now he's giving us practical advice on how to live that out. Brothers and sisters, in your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood. That means we have to resist sin to the point of shedding blood. Think of Maria Goretti. And this is an invitation to see, to begin to grasp what sin really is. This is part of this grace of truth that I've spoken about before. To see the horror of sin, the sins we have already committed, in the light of the mercy of God. See them through the eyes of Jesus. And then to be enthused about dying to self and living to God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And in there, there are trials. There are difficulties. Most of them are the same as everybody else. Get sick, lose a job, have a fight, whatever. The same as everybody else's. But because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we can transform all that into gold by uniting them to Jesus and giving these sufferings, the ordinary kind everybody has, giving them to Jesus. And then he can use them because, you see, we in our own little way are making up in our own flesh for the sufferings that are wanting body of Christ, build up his body. These are part of the good works that he has ordained from all eternity that we do. And so we shouldn't be surprised, it says. You have forgotten the exhortation. Do not disdain the discipline of the Lord. It's true then, as our life goes on, there may be specific trials that are destined to produce a freedom from sin and a union with God that are very specific. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he acknowledges, he scourges every son he acknowledges. So endure your trials as discipline. Enter into this perfecting process. The Lord has great plans for you. God treats you as his sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? At the time, discipline seems a cause not for joy but for pain. Yet later it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. To training in virtue. Virtue characterizes a normal human being. And so we're striving to get normal. And then, by the grace of God, supernormal. Maybe be a saint. One of the things he says here is that it's a peaceful fruit of righteousness. You see, it's also in that confidence that comes from virtue. I know I can handle this. By the mercy of God, of course. But I know now that this will not trip me up anymore. This is confidence. When I'm talking to the students, I say, you see, virtue always brings confidence. Suppose I go out to mid-court in a basketball court and I throw up a hook shot and it goes swish. That's luck. But suppose Michael Jordan does it. That's the virtue of basketball. Because he's worked hard at that and he has the gift. He has the virtue. So the score is 98-96 and there's 30 seconds left and timeout. And Jordan says, give me the ball. Why does he say that? Because he knows. Of the 10 guys on this court, he's most likely to score. He knows that. Now, he could be proud of that or not proud of it, but he knows it. Virtue is knowing I can handle this situation. By the mercy of God, by myself, oh, I can't handle stubbing my toe. But it's that grace. And that's what he's talking about, the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. To have virtue. And therefore, to have confidence in the work of God in us, to have experienced the power and the enthusiasm of the Holy Spirit in our being. And we know that He'll come, He'll be there. Is there struggle? Of course. Failure? Of course. But little by little. See, this is what He's saying. So strengthen your drooping hands and weak knees. Now, He knows everybody gets tired and discouraged. And these people are under some kind of persecution. Make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated but healed. And then He ends this part. Strive for peace with everyone, and for that holiness without which no one will see the Lord. It's an interesting line. Does He mean that there's a holiness, for that holiness without which no one will see God? Is there a holiness and you still won't see God? I mean, can you start? Well, I think that's an implication that there's purgatory, a place where we will arrive at that holiness, where we can see God. See to it that no one be deprived of the grace of God. Nobody. I'm looking around and I'm thinking of a couple of people, and I wonder where they are. I don't mean, where are they? I mean, haven't seen some for weeks. And I'm saying, Lord, in fact, I'm going to call one up today. Came every day for weeks and now not here now. And where is she? Is she okay? See to it that no one be deprived of the grace of God. Care for the brethren, that no bitter root spring up and cause trouble, through which many may become defiled. What's that? That's division in the community. Bitter root. Non-forgiveness, holding grudges, all the rest. See to it that that does not, because if it springs up, it'll cause trouble. And many will be defiled. That means I got to forgive. Yeah, it means you got to forgive. Yeah. Everybody, all the time. When you get that virtue, then you really have God. When you know, it's not my virtue, you know, it's a gift from God. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring us to that kind of holiness. We're not left here as orphans. But without it, many become defiled. Not just the one who holds the grudges, but everybody who's around them, whether they talk about it or not. So you can see we're back to good old-fashioned blocking and tackling here. And this is life. But He sees it in the light of the marvelous power of the Holy Spirit. The beauty, the love, the enthusiasm of the Holy Spirit never gets tired. He's always there, infinitely enthusiastic about helping us live to God, die to sin. Always there. And so that's this advice that He's giving us. And then to be a little bit more of the letter to the Hebrews, more exhortation, but also this description. You wait, tune in tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow we won't have it because it's the feast of the presentation. So I'm going to read a little bit of what it says. Cheat. You have approached Mount Zion. You haven't approached a mountain you can't touch and everybody's afraid. You've approached the real Mount Zion, the church, and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Already you touched that. And countless angels in festal gathering here at every liturgy, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the just made perfect. All that cloud of witnesses that were in the football stadium yesterday, remember, cheering us on. The spirits of the just made perfect. And Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant and the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. His blood. This is an allusion to the Eucharist. This last passage I just read. This is an allusion to the Eucharist. You haven't come to some place you can't touch. You haven't come to a place that makes you afraid. You've come to Jesus.